All right, everybody ready? Woo, how's everybody doing? Good? Everybody enjoying the conference so far? Yeah, good. All right, so I'm assuming you're here to learn about federations. Is that correct? Make sure you're all in the right room. Okay, good. Excellent. All right, so who has heard about federations? I'm assuming so because you're here, right? Who has used federations? All right. To what degree? A little bit, just playing with it. To what degree have you used federations? Just playing with it for the most part? Okay. So today we're going to learn about, let me introduce myself really quick. So my name is Scott Klein. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft. I focus primarily on the Azure SQL database. So if I say SQL Azure, I mean Azure SQL database. Just let's get that out of the way right now, because it's been SQL Azure forever, and I'm going to say SQL Azure, so if I mess up, I mean Azure SQL database, okay? I need a swear jar. Every time I say SQL Azure, I need to put money in there, give it to you guys. That'll prevent me, hopefully catch me from saying SQL Azure. All right, so today we're going to talk about Azure Federations. And so we're going to spend quite a bit of time on the overview of what federation is, just from the architecture, scalability concepts, things like that. We're then going to dive into design and development, how to take an on-premise or an existing database and say, what do we have to really think about when we want to federate our database? Things like, how do we model that? What federation key do we use? How do we really pick, and federate our existing database? From a federation key, what types of keys can we use? What's the appropriate type of key to use in what scenario? And then fan-out queries. How do we, we've got all these nodes of databases. How can we create a fan-out query? Well, they're not supported natively yet. Can we do that, and how can we do that? And then we'll get into tips and tricks about, configuring DMVs. There's a whole slew of a new set of data management views that help us manage and troubleshoot federations. It's pretty awesome. And then we'll get into deploying and upgrading schemas and things like that. Monitoring federations, what do we need to do to when we split and we federate, how do we monitor what's going on underneath the covers, all that great stuff. And then we'll talk about what's next. What are we thinking about doing in version 2? So federation has been out since December timeframe, so about 6 months. Now we're already thinking about, what are we going to do in version 2 and version 3 and things like that. So we're going to talk about and give you some roadmap about what we're thinking about doing. All right? So overview. So scalability is hard. So what we need to do, what we need to think about is, how do we scale in the cloud? We have to satisfy the cloud scale model. So on-prem, how do we scale on-prem, right? So on-premise, typically what we do is when we need to scale, what do we typically do? Throw more machines at it, more hardware. Let's add more memory. And then when we throw more machines at it, we get into this scenario where we have under-provisioned and over-provisioned model where we have all this hardware, but the demand may not meet that hardware. Or we have the demand that, again, doesn't meet the hardware because we don't have enough hardware to support our demands. We get those peaks and valleys. So we have the red and yellow scenario where our hardware is under-provisioned and over-provisioned, right? So scaling is really hard on-premise. And so what we need to do is the goal with scaling in the cloud is we have to satisfy the cloud scale model. So when it comes to the cloud, there's a whole new set of workloads that are beyond just the scale up model. So scale up means, let's just throw more hardware at it. But how do we scale out? We have to satisfy the scale out model. We need a scale out model that helps us scale out just beyond the 10 nodes or the 20 nodes or what are that. We need to be able to scale out to hundreds of nodes, right? And not get into this scenario where we have under-provisioned and over-provisioned hardware, right? The great thing about this is what federations is. It solves this problem. It satisfies both the economy of scale plus the solves the under-provisioning and over-provisioning model. So in a cloud scale, it's all about, the keyword here is elasticity. We can expand and contract, grow and shrink based on demand with very little, with no downtime to the users. That's the goal. So we don't want this, we want this. We want our over-provisioned and under-provisioned scenario to be very little, right? We want to be able to add servers or add nodes and remove nodes based on demand very easily. And this is really what federations is. And the goal of it with federations was simply to say, let's do this with very little downtime to the users. If we need to partition, we don't want to take the users offline and say, wait, we're partitioning. We want to be able to do that and still let the users access the system, right? And this is the great thing about federations, is that we can actually do that, right? So we want to take advantage of the cloud provisioning model. All right. So typically on-premise, we can scale. We've got the middle tier and the application layer, right? So in the front end tier, we simply, if we need to scale that, what do we typically do? Again, we simply add more layers, right? So we take the front end and the middle tier, and we say, let's just add more servers to that because that's how we scale, right? Who's done this? Everybody's done that, right? We say, hey, we want to add more layers or application tier, more middle tier, so we just put more servers on it, right? That works. How do you do that in the data layer? How do you scale the database? Because right now you just have a database. So you put more servers on the front end, you put more servers in the middle tier, you set up the database, you open the door, the users come flooding in, and all of a sudden, hey, the middle tier and the application scale, but what happens to the database? How do you scale the database? Right? And this is what we're talking about. This is what federations is typically, you have to buy more machines, whether it's the front end node or things like that. You have to buy more machines. But the idea of federations is to take this same concept and move that to the data layer, right? So let's scale the database to multiple nodes and get that partitioning going on the database layer. So we add more servers in the middle, the front tier, we add more servers in the middle tier. Now we take that same concept, that same model, and let's move that to the database layer. Again, this is what federation. So, and this also aligns, the key concept here is this also aligns with the whole Windows Azure paradigm, the whole Windows Azure model, right? So, around the principles around scalability and elasticity, right? The, applying them to the server side, just like we apply those to the middle tier and the front tier. So again, taking that same scalability concept, moving that to the database tier. All right, let's keep going. Oh, so again, yeah, so we're going to take that. Let's add more nodes to the front end. Let's just add more nodes to the database layer, right? Okay, so we've heard about federations. Great, but why do we use federations? So pop quiz really quick. What's the biggest database size in Azure SQL Database today? 150 gig, right? Anybody know the... Just out of curiosity, anybody know when Azure first came out, anybody know what the biggest database size was? 1 gig, right? Many, many years ago, 1 gig. But that's up to 150, right? This is great, okay? But who has databases bigger than 150 gig? Yeah, so you're thinking, wait, my database won't fit, right? So how do we get around this? So federations number one is to get around this scale beyond the 150 gigabyte limit, right? And so if you think about that for a minute, if we scale to 100, if we have 150 gigabyte database, we provision our database, we get a set of CPUs and memory and things around that, right? But if we can scale that to multiple nodes, we just doubled our processing power. So not only do we get multiple databases, but now we get twice the memory, twice the CPU, twice the performance, right? So federation says, let's get around this this limit of 150 gig and scale to hundreds of nodes and utilize the additional CPU and memory to even increase our performance, right? So that's first. Next is the economy of scale. So again, elasticity, right? Let's partition, let's scale with no downtime to the user. So if we make this decision, can you make a static decision to say, hey, do I have, can I support, 10 users or 10 users, 20 users, or nodes, right, partitions? In a multi-tenancy system, how many customers or how many tenants can I have in a database? Can we really make a static decision to say, can I have 10, can I have 20, can I have 100, can I have 1,000? Can we really make that decision without scalability, right? If you have to decide right out of the gate, if you say, well, in my database, I really can have 10, so I have to make a static decision to say, oh, I can only support 20. Is that a good decision? Because can you back out of that? Can you reverse that? Versus if you don't have to make that decision and can scale, say, oh, I can do 10 today, 20 tomorrow, 5 the next day, that's a much easier decision, because if you make a static decision, you're stuck with that decision. Oh, I can only support 10 in this database or 10 on this server, 20 in that server, right? The whole goal is to say, I don't have to make that decision because I can scale and make those changes on demand. So, for example, let's say I've got 1,000 tenants today. I can say, you know what? I've got performance issues, so I'm going to split and partition, do 500 and 500, and that may satisfy the demands for a while. And then if things get busy again, you can split even further to satisfy the demands of scale, right? So you don't want to have to make a static decision to say, yep, I can only support 10, and I can't back out of that, right? So you don't want to have to be stuck. So again, and then simplified multi-tenancy. So again, this is where we say, hey, how do we scale and meet the demands of scale, okay? And then simplified development and administration, really. Oh, and let me back up one point right here. So let's say you start splitting and partitioning and everything's working great, but let's say you have one customer who's really starting to grow and reaching the bounds of your database, right? Well, with Federation, you can dedicate an entire member just to that one customer, right? So you're not limited to just, hey, you know, multi-tenant system. You can say, I want to dedicate this entire Federation or this entire node to this one customer, right? So again, you're not pigeonholed or you're not stuck into how many tenants you can fit into a scalability model. You can scale based on demand, right? And then the simplified development administration. Is the great thing about this is that Microsoft said, we're not going to make you learn a whole new set of technologies, right? We're going to enhance the T-SQL, throw a new set of statements in there, and be on your way, right? And I'll show you an example of how this works. It's really simple. So it's Federations is not that difficult to use. It's just we've enhanced the current architecture to allow you to do Federations and split and apply that scalability model at the database layer, right? So native tooling all within SQL Server Management Studio or the management portal, if you've seen that, okay? So let's look at the architecture really quick. So we've got certain things. So what does the architecture look like? It's really actually fairly simple, and this is how you stand one up, right? So creating a federation is simple as executing this command right on the top here. Create federation, federation name, and you pass it three values. You pass it the federation key, and we're going to talk about the federation key in more detail in a little bit. And then the federation key type, in other words, are you splitting on an int, a big int, and there's four types, int, big int, var binary, and unique identifier right now. And then the range, and right now the distribution type, it's just range, meaning I'm going to have a range of numbers, whether it's an int or big int or things like that, right? So that's it, okay? So we've got the root database. And this root database is really, this is the federation root. This is the database that you're going to create the federation member in, right? So we have to think of, so the question is, what is a federation? Well, the federation is simply an object. It's much like a table or a store procedure that you use every day, but this object is just a little different. For example, in an object or a table, right, that's confined to your one database. That doesn't grow outside your database. A federation is different in that it can scale outside your database. It's still an object, and you create it in the root database, but it scales outside your database. For example, think of it much like a create database statement, right? Whenever I say create federation, I get a new database, right? And that root database knows about every federation or federation member in its metadata. It knows about these things. You don't have to keep track of them. You can have hundreds and hundreds. The root database knows all about each federation member, right? But this is just a federation. It's just, hey, I'm going to partition. This is what the federation is, right? Okay? So the root database contains the federation object. Then you have the federation key. And the federation key determines how you're going to distribute or partition your data. For example, everybody familiar with the AdventureWorks database, right? So you've got customers and orders and products and things like that, right? So when you're, and we'll talk about design decisions here in a little bit. So the federation key could be things like customer ID, customer order, or order date, or order ID, or product ID, right? Some value that you're going to determine is how you're going to partition your data. That's it, right? That's the federation key. On what value are you going to partition your data? Okay, so you got the federation root, the federation key, and then you have what's called atomic units. Okay, so Every federation member is really a slice of data. So you're basically taking a database and you're partitioning that data into multiple databases. So every federation member is a slice of data. There's a slice of data. There's a slice of data. It's just partitioning your data. Okay. But the key concept here is atomic units. Okay. What is an atomic unit? So atomic unit is a collection of rows that belong to a specific entity. For example, customer ID 55. Let's take customer for example. Let's say I partition on customer ID 55. Well, customer has related tables. Okay, customer could have customer address, customer could have orders, order details, things like that. So everything that's related to customer ID 55, its address, its orders, its order details, that is an atomic unit. Does that make sense? Right? Customer ID 55 has orders and products and all that. Whatever's associated with customer ID 55 is an atomic unit. And what we do is we guarantee that that atomic unit will never be split. It will never be in multiple federation members at any time. It will always be within the same federation member. So we guarantee that transactional consistency. Okay? So that every atomic unit will be transaction consistent and within the same federation member. All right, and let's keep talking about. So what do we support right now in version 1? We support split and drop. Okay, split simply means I'm going to partition. This is how I partition. So split members to spread workloads over more nodes. So I'm going to take my database and split. And basically, the syntax is very simple. Go to the root database, alter federation orders, split at some value. Okay, so here's an example. In this example, I've got multiple federation members. Right, and one of my nodes has IDs 5,000 to 10,000. Right, so what do I want to do to split that? I simply say I go to the root, and we'll talk about how this works in a little bit. We go to the root, and we say alter federation split at. So in this example, we're taking and we're splitting at 7,500. So what happens in this scenario? So basically, what it does behind the scenes, it creates two new databases. Physical databases. Every federation member is a physical database. Okay? So it creates two new databases, and behind the scenes it takes, since we're splitting it right in the middle at 7,500, it takes 5,000 through 7,500, takes that to one database, moves that data copies that data to one database, and takes the rest, 7,501 to 10,000, moves that to the other database, drops the original database, and then reassociates those two new databases to the federation. That's a simple split. Does that make sense? Right? So basically I'm saying, you know, depending on, and so every time you do a split, it creates two new databases, copies the data, deletes and drops the original database, and then reassociates those two new databases to the federation. Right? So now we have multiple federation or additional federation members. Okay? So drop is the same thing, right? Drop members to shrink back to fewer nodes. If I say drop this, what it does is it basically combines two databases into a single database, or members into a single member, right? So it's the reverse. Okay? Does that make sense? It's fairly simple. It's a simple split. Now, the concept here is that the split may take some time. We'll talk about some of the data management views in a little bit, where you can watch the progress of the split. The key, though, is here is that depending on the size of the database or the size of the member, this split may take a while. Okay. So what it does is basically says it creates a job, right? So it says, hey, go. So you'll see in a minute when I do an example, you'll see the split. It'll say whenever you SQL Server Management Studio, right, you execute a query, it says, hey, this has been successfully executed. But even though it says that in Management Studio, the split may still not have started. It still may be picked up and still may go on in the process. So the key is that there's a data management view that we'll look at that you can continually query to show the progress of this split, 10%, 20%, things like that, right? Okay. All right. We're almost to an example, so let's take a look at this. All right. Data-dependent routing. So in the previous example, we said, hey, We took one federation member and split into that, but we want to be sure that our connections are routed. So what we're going to see in a little bit is, you know, how do I ensure that my, you know, when I make a connection that I'm routed to the right federation member? So has anybody done sharding on their own, partitioning on their own? Little difficult, right? Because you have to remember what database you have to go to, things like that. And with federations, you don't have to remember that, right? We'll see how that works in a second. Okay. So with data dependent routing, you don't have to remember where things are. So for example, let's say we're going to use federations. We want a query for federation ID 7500 or 7501. Well, how do you remember that? Right? Earlier, it was in this federation member, and now we split it a few minutes ago, and now it could be in some other federation member. How are we guaranteed that to go to the right federation member to get our data? And this is what data dependent routing means, right? And heaven forbid that we have to cache this information. If anybody's ever done their own sharding partitioning, a lot of times we've seen developers write their own partitioning and caching scheme to be able to track this. And if that's the case, and when you do a split, well, your cache just became invalid. Now you either have to recache or some other method to update your cache, right? And so you don't want to track this at in the application level. Let the database do that. And so think of it again as the use database statement. Currently on-prem, when you say use database, we route your connection to that database, right? Well, when you say use federation and you pass us an ID, we take that ID and we take you to the correct database. You don't have to worry about what database that value is in because we take you to the right one. So think of it like a hotel. Most of you are staying in a hotel, right? Right. Think of it like a hotel. Your root database is the lobby. And when you say use federation name and pass an ID, that basically tells the elevator what floor to go on to go to in the hotel. Simple as that. We take care of routing your connection to the right floor. You don't have to worry about it. You just pass us an ID and we route you to the right floor. Much like a hotel system, right? Lobby, floors. That's it. You pass us an ID, we route you to the right place, okay? And then you can query all day long, and we'll see some examples of that, okay? All right. Is it time for an example yet? Yes. So demo time. All right. So what I'm going to do in this example is I'm going to show you very simply how federations work. Just a very simple example, right? So I'm going to create a database. I'm going to federate it. We're going to query it, okay? Give you an idea of how federations work. So let me step out of here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move over. SQL Server Management Studio. All right, so here we have, I created a database, right? And this is a very simple database. So I'm connected, if we look at this, I'm connected to my Azure SQL Database server, right? And this is in North Europe, okay? And what I have is I have a script. I'm going to execute this script, and I'm going to walk you through this script really quick. So let me Control E very fast. Yeah, it's timed out because I've waited too long. There it goes. All right, so let's walk through this really fast. So basically on top, I have very simple standard, as you've seen, right? So I'm in the root database. I'm in a separate database, and I'm executing the script. And you can see standard create table statements, right? We've all seen this. Nothing's changed there, right? But if I scroll down a little bit, right, so create table, do some creates, but here's where things get interesting. So let's take a look at this really fast. All right, so here's my create table, here's where things get interesting, here's where I start dealing with federations. So I have create federation, expense federation, and I pass it the value I want to partition on, the type, the data type, and a range. And right now, federation only supports range, meaning some low value to high value, right? Then I say, all right, use that federation. So again, like the elevator, we're saying, hey, since there's no values in that database, there's no tables, I'm simply going to pass it a value of 0, right? Which takes me to the first federation, okay? So use that. So I'm going to use that federation. So now I'm physically in a completely separate database. And now I start creating objects in that database. So if we look at this, scroll down. Whoop, I'm going to knock things off here. If we scroll down a little bit, things that are interesting. So look at the way this create table statement is architected. OK? Okay? So again, create table, columns, columns, columns. But the very end, we say, instead of the normal create table statement, we have these things. So basically, I'm saying federate on. So if we take, you know, there's my user profile ID. That's my primary key. But I'm going to say user ID from my federation creation statement equals user profile ID. That's the value I'm going to federate on. I'm going to partition on, right? Go. So that's it. Okay? Now, in this example, I've got user, and I've got a couple other tables. So expense report. Expense report. Okay? And so there's a one to many. So now notice I have user profile ID. So I'm also want to include this table in the federation. So I also have the same thing. Primary key, federate on, right? That value. Okay. So again, I'm federating on user profile ID here. So that means I want to include this table in the federation. And then scroll down a little bit more. And I have expense report detail. And notice typically in an expense report application, right, we have user to expense report, one to many, and then a expense report to expense report detail, one to many. But notice in this example, because I wanted to include this table in my partition, I also had to include the user profile ID in that table. And so same thing, right, federated on user profile ID. So again, to some degree, when we're federating, and we're going to talk about this and when we get to design and development, we're database normalization, right? To some level, we're denormalizing, or to some normal form, right? So, again, you know, one to many, then another one to many. But because I want to include this table in my federation, I have to include user profile ID because that's what I'm federating on, right? So again, when we talked about this, customer and customer has related tables all by foreign key. What do we want to include in our partition, in our federations? And so this example, right? All right, then we got one more table down here, and this is things like expense report status. But notice, even though I'm in my federation member, this is just a standard create table statement. I'm not including this in the federation. This is what's called, we'll talk about this a little later, this is what's called a reference table, right? A reference table is a table that I don't want to partition on, but it will get included in every federation member as I split. Okay? So we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, and then from there, what I do is I simply do the same thing. So some foreign key constraint, then I insert some data. So this is done. All right, so if we look at this, if I refresh this, remember, so what I did in SQL Server 2012, notice that my federation member is not listed, but in SQL Server 2012, we now have a new node called federations, and there's my federation member. But behind the scenes, my federation, so the key to look at this is this value right here, right? What does that say? It's not Contoso fed, it's Contoso fed and some value. So I know I'm not in my root, I'm in my federation member, okay? So with that, right, so we're not done. Let's go a little further. I now have another script really quick, right? And let's now figure out how to split and query this, right? So here we are, we're in Contoso Fed. Yep, I waited too long, so let's try this. So what I'm going to do, so again, think of this as the elevator example. I want to go to the root. I'm going to go to the root, the hotel lobby. I'm going to run some of the data management views to look at some of the values that can help me, you know, troubleshoot and do maintenance, things like that. Right? Oh, it's automatically querying. That's awesome. All right, so what I'm going to do is, so let's go to the root to query this. Okay, so now I have, what I did is now notice that my database changed up here. This is automatically executing. This is cool. All right, so now I'm in the Federation root, and here's some of the DMVs. And I don't know why that's automatically executing. That's cool. Is there a ghost up here or something? All right, so now I'm in the Federation root. Now I want to query some of these tables that I inserted, right? So here's user profile and expense report. So let's query some of those, okay? Oh, I got an error. Why? Why did I get this error? Anybody know why? That error is valid. Why did I get that error? Yes, correct. I'm in the federation root. Those tables weren't created in the federation root, were they? So how do I do this? So now basically what I have to say is, let's scroll down a little bit. I have to say, all right, I got to get in the elevator, go to the right floor, and then query those tables, right? So basically, I'm going to say, hey, let's pass it a value. In this case, I'm going to say 0 because I want all the records. And then let's query those tables, right? Done, right? So because I said 0 and with filtering equals off, I get all the records, right? Now, so I still haven't split everything because if we look at this, I've got all 100 rows, so user profile. This is really interesting. Everything's executing. Is it the laser pin? Oh, you're right. It's a multifunctional button. It points and executes SQL code. This is awesome. All right. What's that? That's right. Federation 2.0 comes with a pointer that actually points and executes SQL code at the same time. All right. So I think we're going to get rid of this for a minute. All right. So are we good so far? Everybody understand? All right. So again, we have one Federation member that has all the records in it. So let's split that. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to scroll down, and there's two ways to split. So again, T-SQL, So we're not going to make you learn any new syntax. We're basically going to say, hey, T-SQL enhancements, right? So to split, we need to go back to the root, right? And simply say, alter federation, split at some value, okay? And we're just going to say 40, for example, okay? So here's what we're going to do. So let's do this. Oh, yeah, timed out. Whatever. Oh, you know what? We got to do this first. Now we can split. All right, what did I do wrong? Specified boundary value already exists for federation distribution member. Oh, you know what? So when I hit that thing, it automatically split. So the split already happened. Right, we want to hit the pointer, it ran this code. All right, so let's just pretend, let's play pretend for a minute and say, hey, it's splitting. All right, so at that point, it's going to split. So what we can do is now we can go back to the root. So let's go back to the root real quick. And let's look at some of these data management views. Oh, look, so the split is done. Right, so that happened pretty quick. Because it took place earlier. So there's our federation. There's information about the federation, and now we have two ranges. Now we have two federation members, right? So since we split at 40, we have low to high, which is 40, and then 40 to the high value, so whatever that number is, right? So now we have two physical databases, right? So when we queried these data management views earlier, we had one federation member. Now we have two, okay? So in one federation member, we have 1 to 40, and the next we have 41 to 100. Okay, so how do I query those? And we saw this a little earlier, right? So let's go to the federation. Let's say use federation, and we're going to say let's just use 10, pass a value 10. That means it knows to go to the first floor, and let's select star from user profile. Now the key here is let's talk about with reset and filtering equals off. With reset means every time we say use federation, it does a hard reset of our connection, right? Right. So because we're going to go from this connection to this connection, so it basically does a hard reset. So a what's called a connection reset explicit. Let's explicitly reset our connection to this new federation member. But the key here is this filtering equals off, right? So again, pop quiz. I'm passing a value 10. If I say select star from user profile, how many records am I going to get? Am I going to get just ID 10, or am I going to get 1 through 40? We're going to get 1 through 40. That's correct, right? So let's execute that. So I'm going to get 1 through 40, or 1 through 39. Okay? So left inclusive, right exclusive is the way it works, okay? All right, so let's go even further. So now we're going to say same thing, right? And then let's pick 41, right? So because we're saying filtering equals off, we're going to get 40 through 100, okay? So again, notice we didn't have to say use database or select star from where. We just said use federation. Here's the ID, and it routed us to the right floor. Okay? All right, one last example. Now we're going to say same thing. use federation, but now we're going to turn filtering equals on, which means we're going to get how many from user profile? One record, and its related records and expense report. Ta-da, right? That's federation. We split, we can query, simple as that. So all we have to say is, so in your existing application, if you're going to say, hey, how do I use this in an existing application? Do I have to make any minor modifications to my code? No. Basically, what I have to do is now just insert a simple use federation, pass an ID, and you're done. Right? So no serious modifications to any existing code. Right? And the great thing is that your application does not know what's going on in the background. It doesn't care, or it doesn't know how many federation members that you have back there. It doesn't care how many federation members you have, because we handle, through this, we handle the connection routing. You just pass us an ID, done. Right? All right. Let's get back to, any questions about that? Okay. Let's keep going. So I think, I haven't tried this, but I think if you say reset, I think that's required. So you have to actually, yeah, you actually have to say with reset. Yeah. Oh, so you say like a create table, whatever. A drop table. So you're still going to pass it an ID, just like we did. We said, you know, we. So remember when we said, you know, use ID equals zero. So, you know, that's a, you know, I haven't tried that, but I would think if you're passing an ID, you're still going to go to that right, the right federation member, and it'll execute it there. So that's actually a good question. So we're going to talk about that actually a little later about schema updates and things like that, right? So, again, you know, every federation member is going to have its own schema, right? So and it'll differ from the root. So you know, what's the upgrade process? What's you know, how do you run scripts and how do you do DDL statements? And we'll actually talk about that when we go to like fanout queries and things like that, right? Because there's great ways to do that. Okay, I saw another hand. Oh, I'm supposed to repeat questions too. So, what's that? Uh-huh. Well, so, no, so you're not creating new federations. The question is, if I have a million records and I split and then, you know, then I get more records, do I have to create new federations, right? Yeah, so let's say, for example, let me make sure I understand your question, right? So I have a million records. I split in the middle. Now it's growing, so instead of having two, I want to have three, and then four, and then five, and things like that. So this goes back to, and we'll talk about this when we get to design and development. It's not necessarily like we're going to split in half every single time, right? So if I split in half, and then I want to undo that and split in thirds, and then I want to undo that and split in quarters, and then undo that, and things like that, right? This goes back to the ultimate design, right? Understanding what am I going to federate on, because you may not want to split right in half or in thirds, because this third, think of it like, you know when you go to a sporting event, right? And during halftime, everybody gets up and goes to the bathroom, right? And there's one men's bathroom or whatever, and there's some really long line out that bathroom, because really they haven't distributed their bathrooms really well, right? So it's all about partitioning, right? So you want every single federation member busy, right? So the concept is that how do I partition my data so that every federation member gets busy, right? And so to your point, simply splitting in half may not be the right solution. And then undoing that and then splitting in thirds may not be the right solution, because there might be in one partition, there might be one or two customers that are just really hammering the system while these other partitions are just sitting there not busy. Am I making sense? Right? So the concept is and we'll, again, we'll talk about this right now when we get into design and things like that, is, you know, what's the right way to partition my database? What's the right key, right? So let's get, you know, so let's get through this. And if that hasn't answered your question, let's take it offline, or we'll, because I want to make sure that your answer gets answered satisfactorily. Your question gets answered satisfactorily. Okay. All right. So if I click this button, is it going to start? Is it going to execute code again? All right. Or it might just go start blooping through all the slides really fast. All of a sudden we're done. Hey, thanks for coming. All right. Tips and tricks. All right. Design and development. What is the right way? So again, the key concept here is, how am I doing on time too? Okay, got a half hour. So we may not make it all the way through this. So, because we got a lot to talk about. So picking federations, this goes back to some of your questions, right? What is the right way to federate my database? What is the right key to partition on? Things like that, right? So we have to understand, really, that understands database normalization here? Because I'm assuming, since you're in a SQL talk, that you're database people, right? I'm hoping that's a safe assumption, okay? So again, you know, we typically code to, you know, third normalization form, fourth, you know, and I think there's now six normal forms, right? Something like that, okay? Or seven, I think there's seven now, right? So federations, designing for federations, is really an extension of normalization. So really nothing changes. You design your database as you normally would, and then you apply principles that really pertain to scalability, right? So we're not asking you to make significant design changes. We're just saying do your normal database normalization as you normally would, but then take a step back and say, let's apply some principles that help define and help with scalability, right? So we're going to apply what's called the scale-first database design principles, right? So the first step, and it's really kind of two steps, is the first step is, say, let's pick our federation, and we have what's called table groups, right? What groups of tables need to scale out? And hopefully this is answering your question back there, right? What groups of tables need to scale out, right? So an example, let's take the AdventureWorks database, for example. We have things like, there's customers, there's orders, there's products, there's sales, right? Which one of those really, you know, groups or table groups need to scale out? And let's talk about a scale group for a minute, right? A table group is really a group of tables that are related to each other that we need to scale out, okay? So their properties are the same way. So they're tied, again, right? We have product, we have product tables or product categories, customer address, orders, order detail, tables that are related and typically through foreign key relationships that will scale out, right? And so basically we need to sit down and say, all right, which one of these table groups really needs to scale, right? Is it orders because customers have orders, right? Are we going to get lots of customers frequently, or are customers going to start ordering lots of stuff, right? So which one of our table groups is really going to start scaling? What do we need out of all our table groups, which scales, okay? And then from there we say, all right, once we've defined those, we need to say, all right, how do we normalize those to be able to ensure that we get the right scalability, right? So for example, if we look at the AdventureWorks database, there's foreign key relationships everywhere, right? So customers are related to products and salespeople, and products are related to customers and orders and sales. So it's very intertwined. So once we picked our table groups, how do we apply that scalability concept so we don't lose with very minimal loss of foreign key relationships, right? So for example, in the demo that we just did, we had several tables, right? We had user, expense report, and expense report detail, right? Very simple example. But if you take the AdventureWorks database, right, and you want to partition that, well, let's say we're going to partition on orders, right? So if I want to just include and pick my table groups as orders, how do I partition that? Because some of those tables are related to other tables, and I may not want to include those tables because they're not highly transactional. So how do I design this from my normalization form? How do I design this so I don't lose a lot of my foreign key relationships? Does that make sense? Right? So step one, figure out our table groups. What tables do we really want to scale? Okay. Step two, still thinking of applying the scale first design is to determine how to distribute my data, right? How do I partition this data? For example, do I select order ID? Okay. Do I select customer ID? Do I select order date? Right? So if we look at this, you know, orders are coming in all the time. But if you think of Amazon, for example, in most systems, you're logging in with a customer ID. And customer ID, with a customer ID, you can track that everywhere, right? So maybe it makes sense to federate on customer ID. We could do order date, right? Because that allows us to partition very easily. But the problem with that is that if we're doing order date, our hottest partition is always going to be the last one because it's always the most busy. It's always the latest date. So that may not make sense to be our partition key. So we have to be smart about what our partition key is. Now, let me back up and say that we've been talking about a database with a single federation, right? But you are not limited to a single federation. You can create multiple federations. So you can partition on multiple values. You can partition on order ID and customer ID, right? So I have a federation that partitions on customer, and I may have a federation that partitions on order, right? So again, design your database as you normally would, then think about how which group of tables or table groups you want to scale on. And then once you define those tables, pick your partition key out of there, right? So again, and picking your partition key is not just we're going to pick customer ID, because there's certain values here that we want to, or certain key concepts that we want to make sure we get. And the first one is the latency and scale sensitive, right? So we could pick like order date, but to get the best performance, we want to make sure that we pick a partition key or a value that we're going to include in our queries, right? For best performance. This should be an obvious one, right? So in other words, order ID. What are you going to query on, right? What are your queries going to look like? The goal is to write your queries so that they get best performance, and your partition key should be part of those queries. Best practice, right? So when we start defining our table groups, our partition key should be part of the queries that get us the best performance. So when you start looking at, hey, how am I going to query customer? How am I going to query orders? Pick your partition key so that they're part of that query, right, for best performance, right? Then we get into transaction boundaries, right? Transaction boundaries really say, you know, make sure that your transactional boundary is within a single atomic unit, right? So in other words, if you're dealing with ID 55, customer ID 55, and customer ID 56, at one point those were in a single federation member. They're not guaranteed to stay there because you may split at some point, and now they're in different federation members, right? Now, I said earlier that we guarantee that every atomic unit does not split or cross federation members. However, make sure that, you know, that when your queries and your atomic units are transactionally consistent, so you're dealing with a single atomic unit or a single boundary. So when you say customer ID 55, you're working with that one, and you're not jumping across another federation member, right? Not too hard to do. Again, distributing the app workload equally to all members, and this goes back to this gentleman's question back here, and again, back to the bathroom example, right? You want to make sure that all your federation members are busy. So pick a value so that when you partition, you don't have one heavy federation member and like nine just federation members that are just sitting there, right? Design it so that all are going to be busy. All are going to be busy. Design it so that design it so that all your federation members almost have an equal workload, right? And you can tell that. We'll see an example we can look at resources. So there's some data management views that we can look at that are federation specific that allow us to say, hey, what's our load there? And that based on those values, we can say, oh, well, we need to split this one, right? So again, you want to make sure that that we distribute the app app workload equally to all members, and that all members are busy. And lastly, that our atomic unit fits into the scale-up limit. So we talked about this earlier. You want to partition your data. So what happens if customer ID 55 itself takes up an entire 150 gig database? Is that good? That's not very good, right? It's great that we got all this data, but it's not good that this guy's taken up an entire Federation member, right? So there's things that we can do to say, hey, let's make sure that all our tenants can scale across equally across across our nodes. So, for example, customer ID 55, we've got to make sure that he doesn't take up itself. So at that point, we can do things like composite keys, or maybe even create a second Federation so that we're not just partitioning on customer ID, right? So these are the kind of things that we have to look at to make sure that we're not reaching the boundaries, right? So again, our biggest database is 150 gig. So what can we do to make sure that we're not reaching that boundary, that we're all operating within that boundary, and that we're operating within the scale-out limit or the scale-up limit, right? We don't want to hit that 150 gig. What do? Do we create a new Federation, and then instead of partitioning on customer ID, we do customer ID and product ID, for example? Right, so we have to look at these things and make sure everybody's playing nice, right? All right, reference tables. So we talked about reference tables. When we looked at this example, we saw that there was, I think, expense report status. These are tables that are cloned to each database. We don't include them in the Federation, but they're just static tables that are cloned. When we split, they're copied to every single Federation member, right? They provide easier programmability, right? We can include them in joins and in queries and things like that. The key here is that when you update one, let's say you've got 10 Federation members and you're updating one. Let's say we're doing states, right? So your reference tables are fairly static tables. These are tables that are not updated frequently. States, zip codes, things like that, right? So if I update one of my reference tables, that does not, right now in version 1, that does not get automatically replicated to all other Federation members, okay? You have to update all manually, right now, manually update all 10 Federation members, okay? So it's just a good to know, right? So again, these are just simple lookup tables, states, zip codes, things that are pretty static. They don't get updated a lot, but you can include them, but they're replicated to all, whenever you do a split, they get replicated to all Federation members, but you do have to update them manually, every single one, okay? All right, and generating unique keys. All right, so yes, sure. I'm sorry, say that again. Yeah, and I'll actually show you an example here in a little bit that actually makes it quite simple. This is where we get into fan-out queries, right? So in version 1, that's true. You have to go and make a connection to every single one, but I'll actually show you some code, I think, in another slide or two, show you some code that makes it very, very simple, right? So they're talking. I think it's on the roadmap somewhere. Well, let me rephrase that. Make sure I understand your question. It's good that it doesn't get replicated. So I still think that's in the design phase. It might be. I don't know how they're going to do it. I know it's on the roadmap at some point. We'll look at it. We're going to get to, hey, what's coming in the future. They might give you the option to say, hey, don't update all of them or just update this one, right? I still think that's down the road a little bit. Okay. All right. So generating unique keys. So in the example that we used in the last demo, we used an int. And right now, your Federation keys can be int, big int, var binary, and unique identifier. Right? How many of us use unique identifiers for our keys? Okay. A lot of you. All right. So I think there's pros and cons to both. And this, you know, I think. The world could be coming to an end, you know, just lightning and fires and destruction all around us. And I think there's going to be two developers just hashing it out, arguing with each other, going, hey, ints are better. No, unique identifiers are better, right? They could care less what's going on around them. They're still arguing, you know, ints versus unique identifiers, right? But there's pros and cons to both, right? In the example that we showed, it was very easy to split because we said 40, right? That was an easy no-brainer, right? 1 through 100, here's a value, split, okay? However, you know, in a large-scale system, I think the reason people use ints is ints and identities is because it's easy, right? You get two guarantees with using an int, right? One is that they're going to be consistent, right? So they're going to be sequential, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, right? And that there's going to be no gaps, right? Unless an insert fails, right? So one, they're sequential, and two, no gaps, right? However, in a large-scale system, there's some problems with that because before every record gets inserted, it needs to go get its ID, and you don't know that ID until the commit is done, right? So you have to wait till the commits and the insert's done until you find out what that ID is, right? Whether that's a good or bad thing, you know, again, it's, you know, six of one, half a dozen the other. Really, it really doesn't matter. However, unique identifiers provide a little better scalability and flexibility because these unique identifiers can be generated at any level of the application. The app can generate them. The database can generate them. They can be generated at any time, and there's no wait until the insert is done to figure out what the ID is. Right, so there's pros and cons to both, right? So there's not a centralized ID generation for GUIDs because you can do it at the app, you can do it at the database, right? And but one of the downsides is that, you know, there's gaps. So, you know, it's not linear, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? So in terms of federations, int is easy. Pick a number, split. How do you split a GUID? Okay. Now, are GUIDs sortable? Sure. It's a text. 0000000 to FFFFFFFFF. So select star from GUID, order by GUID, right? And you'll get 0000 to FFFFFFF, right? But how do you say, right? How do you say where to split, right? It becomes a little more challenging at that point, right? So there's pros and cons to both. So we've got, there's some blog posts out there to show how to split, and I'll show you those. There's some blog posts out there to say, hey, if you're using GUIDs, here's some functions that will either pick the median or some value to allow to split on, right? Because, again, if you're using an int, so the question was, you know, what's the best practice around using that? Really, it's up to you. What you're splitting on, and what you know, how big your database is, and the number of records, and things like that. If it's an int, that's easy to split, right? Well, there's no argument about that. If it's a unique identifier, then it becomes a little more challenging, and there's ways, you know, like things like, and I'll show you, there's some functions where that'll say, I've got X amount of records, find the median, split there, right? But I think there's some challenges around that because, you know. And you can continue to do that, but maybe you don't want to split in exactly the middle, right? So I still think there's some work that needs to be done if you're using unique identifiers, right? Not that it's a negative thing. I think it's how do you determine where to split it's easy to split in the middle because we have some functions that say here's the median, split, but maybe, you know, again, you don't want to split in the middle. Maybe you want to split in thirds or fourths or things like that, right? So again, the homework is pros and cons to both. The homework is how do you split that, whether you're using an int or a unique identifier. Okay. All right, writing fan-out queries. So I said earlier that we don't natively support fan-out queries, right? But it's fairly simple to write your own fan-out query. So what's a fan-out query? A fan-out query is a query that can process data across multiple nodes, right? So in .NET 4, they introduced what's called the task parallel library, right? So multi-threading, or true multi-threading for the task parallel library. So an example I'm going to show you, it does not use the task parallel library, but it's still in essence a fan-out query, right? That's a query that I can say, execute this query on all the nodes, bring my data back, aggregate that, give me the results, okay? Again, version 1, that's not supported, but we'll show you an example on how to do that. And the example I'm going to show you is available for you to use right now because it's available on the Internet. Okay? And it actually the code's out there. So you can take this and use it all day long. Okay? So benefits of fan-out query, if you're doing reporting and you need to say, hey, I want to pull this data from, you know, this data from multiple nodes, bring back that data. Unaligned queries, like you can query a customer. So unaligned query is basically saying, hey, you know, in the examples we've seen so far, we've come in with an ID. That's pretty easy. But let's say we're coming in with a name and we don't know the ID. So that's an unassigned query. So we're going to say, hey, I'm coming with John. Where's all the IDs that whose first name is John, right? So we're going to do a fan-out query and say, all right, give me all the data, and so let me get the ID for John, right? Or give me all the Johns, right? So there's two types of fan-out queries. There's union all. This is fairly simple. So, you know, fan-out queries are not hard. They're fairly simple. This is just union all. So if I got 10 nodes, execute this query against all 10 nodes, bring the data back, and then we have what's called a summary query. So it's really a multi-step process if we need to be, or two-step process, right? We've got the member query that says, give me everybody whose first name is John, bring that back, aggregate it, and then we have a summary query that says, all right, give me the top 10, for example, right? So we have to do that. So there's union all, and there's unaligned versus aligned versus unaligned fan-out queries. So I got 15 minutes, and we still have a lot to get through. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this example real quick, and then we're going to get into the futures, okay? All right. Oh, code. So this is pseudocode. So again, how we break it down. So a lot of times, if you're trying to get like a top 10, things like that, it really depends on your type of query. So there's the member query, and then if you need to aggregate and get to a top 10 or something like that, then you need a summary query, right? Does that make sense? So if you don't care, you're saying give me the top 10 from every member database. You don't need a summary query, right? So here's a very simple fan-out query. So basically, what we do is we loop through the federation members. So one of those data management views we saw lists all the federation members. So basically, say give me the first one, execute it, get the next one, execute it, get the next one, execute it. We're just looping through the federation members and executing the query, right? And then doing a select. And then we do a summary at the end. So I think now it's demo time. Yes. All right. So let me show you this. Now this is, I need to go over, bring this over, I think. Whoop. All right. So out on the internet right now, and I can send you these links, is the simple fan-out query and full fan-out query sites, right? So, and we have not three versions, we have same version, but we have one hosted in the United States, Europe, and Asia, okay? So you don't have to go, so the latency, depending on where you're at, the latency will be less, right? So if you click on basic fan-out query, you go to this site. So here's our basic fan-out query for federations, okay? And if you look at the code is simply right here, and this is available on the site, right? You can find this code. And if you look at this, it's fairly simple, right? So if you look at that, the first, let's do some highlighting here, because I'm afraid if I click the clicker, it might start executing this, right? So here we get the first federation member, and then we loop through those. We say use federation, that's a member, pass it the key, and start executing query. Then we get the next one, and we just loop. That's all we're doing, right? So we get the first federation member, execute a query, save those values, get the next federation member, query that, gather those results, and then display those, right? We're not doing a summary query because we're displaying all the results, right? So if we need a summary query, I'll show you an example where we do a summary query, all right? So this code is behind this page, right? So let me, I've got some queries here. Let me jump over to this page. All right, so let's say, for example, I'm going to do this, right? So I'm going to take this. This says, hey, just give me the database name, the member ID, things like that from the federation. So I'm going to just let me list the federation members for me, right? So let me go back to, the web page here. Paste this in, right? And submit fan-out query member. So this might take a second. There we go, right? So here we go. I've got about 10 federation members. Okay, very simple. It just looped through it went and queried the data management view and listed all the federation members, right? So and there's the load ISO 10 to 1,000, 2,000, 2,000, 2,500, things like that, right? Very simple. So let's go a little more. Let's take this one, right? So what I'm going to do, I think I cleaned this up. This may error. So again, Someone asked, how do I do data management? You know, how do I do DDL? Right? So this is very simple. So I create a table, instant in that table, and select start from that table. Right? So if I want to write DDL, I can do this. So again, write my DDL, execute this, and it'll go against every Federation member, execute that DDL. Right? So let me do this. So this should succeed, because I think I cleaned up table one. Yep. All right. There we go. So it hit every Federation member, created the table, inserted it, did a select, went the next Federation member. So very simple. See how fast that was? Right? Very nice. So what else can you do with Federation members? Oh, where's my mouse? Right? So I'm going to execute that here in a minute because this may take a minute. So I can do... Someone asked, hey, can I do statistics and things like that? How do I know what's going on? How do I debug what's going on? So this basically, again, looks at queries every database and looks at the sessions and say, hey, what's going on? Right? So let me execute that. So how many sessions are against the database? So again, a Federation member is a database. So how you troubleshoot a Federation member is the exact same way you troubleshoot a database, or vice versa, right? How do I troubleshoot a database is the exact same way I troubleshoot a database member. So how many sessions, this basically says, how many sessions do I have for each Federation member? And hey, if one, you know, right now that's no one's using this, so there's only two sessions, but you know, you may go, it may say 2, 2, 2, 2, 20. Oh my goodness, what's going on with that Federation member? So then I can do some further investigation, right? So again, very simple, using fanout queries. All right, and then if I want to do, again, I can also do statistics, right? So I can execute statistics on each one of these. And this may take a second, but what it's doing is, this won't return any results, but what it does, it's going behind, hitting every Federation member, which is every database, updating statistics, right? So a great way to do, you know, fanout queries, right? This may take a second. So, you know what, I'm not going to get into, because we have 8 minutes. So let me get into, what's next? You know, let me get into, let me get into this, and let's figure out, so, all right, so I'm going to go pretty fast with this stuff, is that all right? This is just maintenance and things like deploying and upgrading, because I think you guys want to get to the futures of what's coming. Yeah? Okay. So let me go through this. We only have 8 minutes left, and I want to leave time for questions. All right. So again, as you saw, we went into the fanout query. It's a great way to do rolling upgrades and schema changes and things like that, right? The only difference is the thing it did not do was the root database, and that's by design, right? Because that's going to obviously have a different schema. But to your question, maybe there's things that you may not want to upgrade, so maybe there's a different way to do things. It may be just one at a time, things like that, right? So you know, you'll have to be a little careful there, right? This is a great way to do things. Schema deployment and sample fanout utility. You want to do item potency, right? What does that mean? So really what it means is if I'm doing rolling upgrades and upgrading my schema, the script you create must be rerunnable. Right, so it must do things like, hey, if not exist, if exist, do this, that type of thing. So you don't want to leave it in a state where you go, okay, crap, I just blew things up. So item potency means when you create a script, that script must be rerunnable. So I can run it again, and it doesn't break anything or doesn't make any changes, right? It won't break, okay? And the great thing about that is that, you know, avoids long transactions, they're retryable, things like that. Oh, and one of the things I wanted to do point out is that when you do things like alter federation and things like that, it has built-in retry logic. So you're not going to get an error back. If you say alter federation split or things like that, it has built-in retry logic so that you don't have to worry about it. They're asynchronous operations. So when you say split, you can get up and go, and it'll do it behind the scenes, right? It's asynchronous, and you're not going to get an error back because it'll just keep retrying it until it succeeds. Okay, so again, and plus have a and these things really don't apply, just aren't Federation specific, right? This is just best practice overall. But from a Federation standpoint, because you're dealing with multiple databases, It weighs a little more heavy on these kind of things. You want to be able to roll back easily and things like that. Because instead of maintaining one database, you're maintaining 10 or however many nodes you have, right? So it has a little more weight to this. All right, troubleshooting. So we saw there's a whole slew of DMVs out there, and this one is a good one. DM Federations Operations. This will show you what is going on in each federation. You can actually run this through that fanout query utility. It'll show you, hey, what's going on in my federations, right? So there's a whole set of data management views that will walk you through and show you what's going on, how many federation members, what are your sessions, what operations are going on, is there locking going on, is there some, how many connections do I have, right? Some great things about how to troubleshoot and how to monitor your federations, okay? So every federation comes with retry logic. Again, federation is not different from a collection of views. A federation member database is the same thing as a database. So you can run some of these queries to determine, hey, what's my hottest member? Do I need to split that? If you're using federations, use these DMVs because they're a great way to say, when and where do I split? Right? Because you can say, oh, this ID is getting heavy or this federation member is getting heavy. Great way to determine, you know, where and when to split. Okay? Let me just keep going. DMVs, where and when to split. So again, when to split and where to split. So, you know, when we're working with SQL Server and you're all SQL Server people, you have to ask what's a good SQL experience versus what's a bad SQL experience, right? If I execute a query and it takes 1 second, is that good or bad? If I have a lot of locking, that's obviously bad. So when you're looking at these things, you have to determine what's a good experience or what's a bad experience, because based on those answers is going to tell you when to split, right? So know what those indicators are, right? What's a good experience and what's a bad experience? What are the thresholds? What are those indicators to say, this, you know, we got to move this off, we got to partition this because to give the users a better experience? Know what those indicators are, right? And then where to split. So the KPI, key performance indicators. This goes to, I think, this gentleman's question back here, right? Where to split. So again, look at some of these, use these DMVs because they provide great information and great insight into what's going on into the federation members, because maybe you've got a federation member with 1,000 records and a few of these are getting really heavy. So you can say, hey, I need to split at this and move these off into their own federation member, or maybe separate those into their own federation member, right? Use these DMVs critical, right? All right, and then a roadmap. We got 2.5 minutes. All right, so some things that are coming, and I'm just going to go through these real fast. If you want more information, I'm happy to talk after. Okay, so latency is an issue. Anytime you're dealing with internet access and multiple databases, again, latency is going to be an issue. So what we're talking about doing is improving caching at the gateway. Right? Anybody that knows Azure SQL Database is that when your connection comes in, it goes through a gateway. Right? And this gateway is responsible for routing your connections to the right place, right? So to improve performance, we're going to improve caching at the gateway, right? Do connection pooling, things like that, so that when you get better response time and better performance out of your applications, right? Use Fed for curing connection pooling fragmentation, right? So one of the things we're doing is we're going to actually, alludes to it up here, is do a lot more connection pooling so that you're not having to spool up connections and things like that, right? So improve connection pooling. Identity and timestamps. So right now, if you look at this supported on reference tables, you can use identities and timestamps. Well, reference tables, but they're still restricted on federation tables. So you cannot. And so let me go back a second. So in that script, I saw that you can't use identities, right? Why? If I have an identity and I split, what's the challenge around using identities? Yeah, so there's the ability that each federation member is generating the same IDs. So what happens if I merge those? So that's the issue, right? So right now, the identities still remain restricted on federation members, right? On federated tables, identity and timestamps they're supported on reference tables, but not federated tables. So that's coming. We're trying to figure that out. Data sync service. So one of the questions is, right now, who's familiar with SQL Data Sync services, right? So this is awesome. If you haven't played with this, please. This is great. Anybody Sync Framework people? .NET Sync Framework? How about SQL replication? Anybody lose a lot of hair over SQL replication? Or beat their head against the wall because they're so frustrated with SQL Federation? Right? Ugh. Well, Data Sync service is synchronization with zero code. No code. It's awesome, right? So I can set up an entire synchronization between multiple Azure SQL databases and even on-prem. No code. Couple clicks, I'm done. So what we're doing is we're coming very soon is the ability to synchronize through Federation members to between Federation members and on-prem, right? It's very you have to play with this. It's very nice. All right, so disaster recovery. So right now, one of the things is the ability to say, hey, I want to, if I make a change, how do I roll back? So a lot of disaster recovery features, being able to roll back or swap out, things like that, right? GODR, geo-disaster recovery, meaning, so when I create a database, an Azure SQL database today, I really get three copies, right? So I get one primary and multiple replicas, right? So that same thing applies to Federation members. So when I create a Federation member, it's itself a database. So you get multiple copies of that, right? So from a Federation standpoint, we're going to GODR those Federation members. So put those in a different region or for disaster recovery, right? One of the copies. Right now that doesn't happen. So we want to make sure that that you have high availability in your Federation members, okay? Backing up to a data center, things like that. All right, partially present Federation member switch operations. So again, ability to swap out. So instead of saying right now, if I have a Federation member, you know, I want to be able to say, hey, you know what? Let me swap that out for another one. So basically, alter Federation switch in and out. So let me take what I used to have, basically kind of a backup and restore type of scenario. Not quite, but you can think of it that way. All right, and then copy database. So if you remember, you can do create database as copy of. Well, we want to be able to provide that same backup kind of functionality with Federation members and Federations. Additionally, we want to be able to provide point-in-time recovery for Federation members, which is not available. So right now, the point-in-time is the ability to, and that's coming as well, the ability to say restore to a point from a point in time, right? So let's say I've got a database and I do a delete without a where clause or an update without a where clause, and oops, you're right, I did something stupid, right? Point in time restore means I can go within a 2-week window, I can go to a second and restore from that point in time, right? That's coming very soon, and we're also going to make that available for Federation members, okay? So it's a nice way to say to restore from a given point in time. Yeah, point in time stuff. All right. So I'm way out of time. Keep going. All right, and then Federation disaster recovery. So failover for these Federation members. So if one goes down, we can have the failover backup. So initially at the member level, then eventually for the federated database, things like that. So high availability and geo availability. And I can go into more detail with these. I just want to get through this real quick. All right. So there's some great blog posts out on MSDN about federations and fanout queries and things like that. And I really apologize. I blew through the last pieces. But please, if you want to play with federations, I can give you the link. I can give you these scripts. A lot of the fanout query stuff is available for use right now. There's some great information out on fanout queries. We're doing blog posts and white papers that will be coming very soon, things like that. So. If you have any questions, I'll be around. Thank you very much for coming and listening to me rattle on. But again, this is awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Please don't forget to fill out your evals, and there's candy for everybody who gives me a five. I'm kidding.